The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Raw, Monday Night Raw after show. And if we got a show for you, I'm sorry, the book looks like it matches Justin's outfit. I'm totally caught off guard. But that was
purely by accident, too.
That's perfectly placed, you guys. If you're on the audio version, tough luck. You don't get to see this miracle of color coordination here. Threw me off my game completely. Let's get into it. Justin, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan. There's a lot to watch, a lot to talk about, and that venture continues on tonight with you fellows on Triple J.
Absolutely. And Jimmy, list of the Canadian world champions there, or the the Canadian heavyweight title. I guess it can't be the Canadian world heavyweight title. That doesn't make sense.
Unless you consider Canada the world, but not even we do that. We're too Canadian for that.
Yeah, I was just saying, Canada's now, I could imagine a world U.S. champion. Yeah, we would absolutely call our title the world.
Well, it depends on who's running the company. Let's put it that way.
I was going to say, we call the NFL championship the world championship all the time. So that's absolutely something we would do here. But we got a crazy week to talk about here. I want to start off just really quickly. We don't have time to really deep dive into it because it's a jam-packed show. But I'm going to give a shout-out to TNA and AEW for some incredible shows this weekend. Huge congratulations, I want to say, to Swerve Strickland, a Tacoma boy like myself. Really, really happy to see him become the AEW champion. We don't have a ton of time on it, but any quick thoughts from either of you regarding TNA or AEW shows?
No. But yeah, both entertaining. I mean, it's the buffet of pro wrestling was hot and steamy for both those nights. A little something for everybody of whatever you want, whether it's technical wrestling, hardcore wrestling, tag team wrestling, a little bit of gimmick matches. Great. TNA, certainly they're trying to get their stride back with this new with the rebirth of the letters. And AEW, yeah, it was a long show, as I noted on social, much to some people's dismay. But that said, it was a very good show. There was a lot of really good stuff to enjoy in that night. So, yeah, shout out to both of them.
Yeah, and Jimmy, yeah. I love you, but you got to just disengage from some of the people who disagree from you on Twitter, buddy. Come on, you're gonna get stuck in there forever.
I know, but I have this bad habit of entertaining myself. That's the only reason I do it. It's not because I get. Look, trust me, there's some thick skin here. You're not getting under my skin. It's just I'm trying to amuse myself, and they don't get that. But shout out, like you said, Justin, shout out to both companies, actually all three companies. Let's put them all over. It doesn't matter what three letters you're talking about in front of the company name. They're all hitting on all cylinders right now. TNA did a hell of a job on Saturday night. AEW followed up on Sunday night with starting it off with a great one, ending it in a good way, a feel-good moment. Like you said, Justin, maybe it could have been a match or two shorter. Because it was a Sunday night and, you know, people obviously got to get up early and go to work the next day. But no, hats off to all the companies this week. They've been doing a great job.
I like a good 3-hour show for pay-per-views. I like that nice little chunk there. It's always good for those. But we'll talk a little bit about TNA in a little bit. We have some news for that. But first, some somber news, some sad news. There were some releases from WWE recently. Zion Quinn, Jinder Mahal, Veer Sangha, Xia Li. I also read today Von Wagner, apparently, was recently released. Fightful Select reported that the reasoning behind them was cited as budget cuts internally, although it's unknown how that was conveyed to talent. Higher-ups reportedly indicated the decisions were made through a combination of not appearing on television due to lack of creative for the talent released and a perceived lack of progress compared to tenure. So, Justin, always sad when someone loses their job and you feel bad for all of these individuals. This is a little different, though. Typically in the past, they've always just said budget cuts and they moved on. Fightful Select is saying there's a little bit more to it this time around.
Yeah, I mean, obviously unfortunate, of course, for anybody losing their gig, especially when, let's be real, WWE is making lots of money. They're turning lots of great profit. But as any savvy executive in any big business is going to tell you, you're making money. Well, you always want to make a little bit more. So there's always going to be budget cuts. And there's always going to be cuts because they're constantly filling up their pipeline. You know, they're constantly adding talent. So when you add some talent, they're just by natural, you're going to take away some talent. You know, it is interesting, you know, Jinder and Indashir, obviously, you know, we've long heard, you know, the population of India alone and just, you know, just reaching that market is important. And so, you know, maybe here's some acts for that part of the world to maybe relate to and grab onto. Xia Li, the first Chinese born superstar. I was really into her work in the old Black and Gold NXT. When they gave the backstory to her character and it was kind of had like a little Chinese mythological. I felt it. You know, whether they didn't have creative to follow up on that, whether they felt that her in-ring work just wasn't getting along where it they thought it should, I don't know. Same thing with Jinder and Nishir. Obviously, Jinder been around for a long time. Maybe they felt they just kind of ran the well dry with him. And then, you know, Indashir just didn't several starts and stops. And again, I can only assume that they were presented so one-dimensionally each time. Just here's the two big silent killers that don't speak and that just do a few big power moves. I can only assume that that was kept happening because that's all they had. I can only assume. I don't know. But I can only assume that the coaches and producers were like, hey, it's just not working. That's all I can assume. But nonetheless, regardless, you know, unfortunate for them. And I'm sure all of them will probably get some opportunity somewhere else here down the line. And what is a very thriving and busy business right now not just in the United States, but around the world.
Yeah. I think every one of them is going to have a lot of opportunity. I can only imagine Jinder Mahal, if he does anything on the indies, he's going to be the biggest guy in the ring by far anywhere he goes, and there's so many opportunities there. I know the Bollywood Boys, I'm a huge fan of them, and they're doing a lot of cool stuff, and they could pair up right there very easily with him. But also I could see one of the bigger companies wanting to pick up someone like Jinder Mahal and also Indashir, again, two big dudes. Jimmy, it's one of those things, kind of as Justin said too, where I think they're all talented, but in this day and age, especially at the WWE level, being talented isn't enough. Sometimes you just need to have an opportunity, and it does. You can be the very best, almost like being a singer and trying to make it in the music industry, or a great actor. Sometimes the opportunity just isn't there, no matter how talented you are.
No, that's the unfortunate part of this business. If you don't resonate, you don't connect with not only the audience, with somebody in the head in the creative position. That can happen. And like you said, the positive thing is all these talents could find somewhere else to at least ply their trade and make a living. And that's the one positive you can take from this. Like you said, it does suck that somebody has to lose their job because creative, let's say, has nothing for you. And, you know, and this is an opportunity. Look at what happened to Drew when Drew left. Maybe this is an opportunity for them to find themselves creatively and express themselves and find, you know, develop their characters and develop something that maybe in the future, somebody like WWE or even an AEW or TNA goes, hey, I like what they're doing over here. Let's bring them in and give them a shot again or something along those lines.
Well, you know, I think it's what a, you know, for a weekend for it to happen, when you look and you see someone who was recently released themselves, fairly recently, Swerve is now a world champion somewhere else. Things clearly worked out very well for him. You see like Matt Cardona and a lot of people, they can do very well after time with WWE. You know, so it's not the end of the world. I know that doesn't mean much coming from some guy with, on a podcast for a lot of them, but I do hope the best for them. Someone who's found some new work, it appears, is WWE champion Cody Rhodes, looking to join the upcoming reboot of the classic comedy The Naked Gun. He'll reportedly be in a cameo role. Jimmy, why do I feel like you're a huge fan of the Naked Gun franchise?
I don't know. Naked Gun, Police Academy, Airplane, they're all in my wheelhouse. I love those movies. And I almost feel like Cody's going to be a perfect fit for this. The only thing missing is Leslie Nielsen. How can you do a reboot without Leslie Nielsen? I get it. It's been a long time, but still. Oh, man, I read it, too. Who's supposed to be the one that, you know,
Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Well, it's close enough. Leslie Nielsen, Liam Neeson. Hey.
Yeah.
Supposedly Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson.
Oh,
that
wow.
Okay. Like, yeah.
So, so Pam Anderson will take the spot of Priscilla Presley.
You know, I think Liam Neeson can be funny. He's got some good comedy chops. Mm-hmm. So I think that it'll be funny. I definitely think that you can't go into expecting Leslie Nielsen, though. You're going to have to reset.
No, I know. I know.
If it's truly like they're doing a if they're going to give you the first Naked Gun again, just modify, just, you know, updated in 2024, 2025. And if Cody's going to have a cameo, I'd love for Cody, you know, if you remember the very first one, it was an Angels baseball player who ended up getting, you know, mind warped for a moment to kill the queen. I love it if Cody gets to be like, you know, mind warped all of a sudden to have to do the bad guy's work.
Yeah,
like Jamie, I'm a huge fan. The best part of this movie is the voiceovers again, which you can never replace Leslie Nielsen, but the writing of it, just all the, you know, like a midget on the urinal, I was gonna have to stay on my toes, like a blind man in an orgy, I was gonna have to feel my way out. I mean, the narrations are just tremendous.
Those movies are so funny. Those are like, I watched them so many times growing up. They're just so dumb and funny. I don't know. I just love them.
But here's the beauty of it. Those lines that Justin just laid out, you can visualize it and just break out laughing. It's incredible. Right. If you're drinking something, it's coming out your nose.
Yeah. So I'm glad they're bringing him back, and hopefully they're good. Like I said, Liam Neeson, he's known for his serious stuff, but he can be very, very funny as well. He had a, I can't remember what show he was on, but he was doing this bit where he was trying to audition for a comedy role, and they're like, let's improv. And everything he was trying to improv was like very serious and not funny, and it became awkward, very office kind of comedy. And it was just hilarious.
Almost like a Robert Stack in Police Academy.
So yeah. we got to reboot Police Academy now. We just got to get someone who can do all the sounds.
Hey, if they do that, LaGreca's going to go on a rant. I'll tell you.
He will.
Well, speaking of rants that are happening over on Busted Open, Matt Hardy has been cited over at TNA, showed up at the end of Rebellion. A lot of people think that that means that he is a free agent, but that is not the case. He tweeted, no, I'm, or think that he signed with TNA. He said, no, on Twitter, no, I am a free agent. I will appear when I want to appear. Also, Jeff Hardy has been telling people that his deal is up with AEW, expected to expire in the springtime. So it looks like the Hardy boys may be signing somewhere else or moving along. But look, I'm just reading reports. Justin Labar, you're chatting to the folks over on Busted Open. You're chatting with Matt Hardy. Tell me a little bit about this.
Yeah. Like you said, Matt ended Rebellion, big pop, big surprise, and then after that, we just reach out to him and said, hey, you know, don't know what your deal is, but if you want to talk to the world, I'm on a radio show tomorrow morning. We're live, and he was gracious. He came on Busted Open the next morning with myself and Jonathan Hood, and yeah, he said I am a free agent. You know, he's not locked down. He was still in Vegas when we were speaking to him. You can see some of the video on the social medias of mine and Busted Open. He was still there in a hotel room in Vegas. He, you know, because they were doing TV that day. He teased that he's going to kick off this Thursday's TNA TV, so make sure you check that out. You know, so he's got some TNA commitment here in the short term, but he basically was saying, like, you know, I'm wrestling is fun when it's unpredictable. and I want to make it feel like I can potentially show up anywhere. Yeah, he noted how he's still talking to AEW right now. He didn't name WWE, but he said, I'm talking to every promoter there is to talk. So I have to imagine that means he's talking to Triple H too. So, you know, pop back up on AEW, pop up on a Raw or SmackDown, pop up at NXT. I mean, anything seems possible. And of course, he was doing the broken mat at TNA, and he felt, you know, both sides felt passionate about that because, you know, the broken mat was, you know, really, you know, had its origin in TNA. So he thought it was really appropriate to bring it back. So, same time, yeah. We didn't really get to talk about the only thing Jeff came up was he admitted to us, Jack and Jimmy, that he really kayfabed everybody. The only ones he told was he told his wife. Even Jeff texted him the next morning, not knowing that was going to happen. So he knew that was the only way that it was going to work in order for him to keep it a true surprise. So yeah, Jeff's contract with AEW coming up soon. That's interesting, and that certainly provides the possibility of having Broken Matt and Brother Nero or Team Extreme or whatever iteration of their 30-year Hall of Fame career you want, potentially you could be cashing in on that.
King Rail in the chat says, Matt Hardy and the Uncle Howdy group would be epic. Jimmy, it sounds like that theoretically could happen. I like the idea of someone like the Hardys being able to go anywhere they want, wherever they want, whenever they want. I feel like that not only fits their character, but at this point in their career, I want to see them be able to work with as many people in as many places as possible.
Absolutely, because those guys are recognizable around the world. They are stars. And not only that, they can help other talent. They're at the point in their careers where they are veterans that could teach the younger generation and people could pick their minds and that sort of stuff. Matt's brilliant at a lot of stuff. And, you know, I love the fact in 2024, where everything is out there and nothing is a surprise anymore, they were able to keep the secret. Not only Matt, because only telling his wife about it, like Justin said, but everybody in the office. So somebody had to know, of course, obviously. So, you know, and Moose had to know about it and the guys in the main event. But to keep it secret this long and to make it a genuine surprise in 2024, I love that. That's one of the things I love about this business, when you can surprise me.
Yeah.
You know, when you could pop the boys.
Yes. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool to see. And also because it's such obviously I think the world would say that WWE is home of the Hardy Boys, but clearly TNA is a very special place to them as well. And so it's cool to see them getting to go back and, or at least Matt Hardy be able to do some stuff there.
I'm just worried that if they want one more ladder TLC match type thing, I think they got one left in them.
I feel like they're always going to want one more TLC match, those guys.
Yeah, it's especially fun to think that, like, if Matt and Jeff truly are on the, if they're in the final year, let's say, if they're on their final year of true active competition, it's fun to think that given the state of how, again, thriving the businesses of the main companies, all of which they have a connection to, it's fun to think that they truly could, on their own terms, do like a little retirement tour across national television, across the USA.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Awesome that they get to call their own shots, and hopefully they continue to do so. We're going to talk about this week's Monday Night Raw. Of course, before we do, I want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat who's joining us. We got Victor and Steven and JR and Laura and Jonathan and Ethan and Tommy O and Daniel Barry, Tuck Graff, Ethan Cruz, Stalking You with the Dog Emoji, King Rail, Brianne and George Bartley and Pika Fan Raul. I haven't seen you, Pika Fan. Good to see you. Matt DeCat. Haven't seen you in a while, Matt DeCat. Thanks for coming through. Burner Account, CT, CC Funk 1. And everyone else. So many of you, it's hard to get through all of you. I appreciate you, though. If I missed your name, I'm sorry. But if you're lurking, of course, I want to give you a shout out for lurking. Jeff Bailey might lurk tonight. That's all good, too. But thank you so much for coming through. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. We got a 5-star review, actually, on Apple Podcasts, and I'm frantically trying to fill time while I slowly pull that up here on my phone so I can read it to you guys. I said I was going to have this ready to go, but 5 stars. It says, this podcast is 5 stars all day with Triple J, Justin, Jack, and Jimmy. Those guys got it right. So thank you so much for the comments there from from Cheese SRQ. Appreciate you. Five-star review.
Five. This is my Bundy interview. Five.
Yes.
If you want to fill time, we're going to get off topic here and not talk wrestling. Thank you, Toronto Maple Leafs, for finally beating the Boston Bruins this week and evening the series at 1-1. Thank you very much.
Leafs, and that's L-E-A-F-S, not spelled correctly, but here we are.
Yeah. Not leaves, Leafs.
The Leafs. Well, future champions, the Leafs, going from one champion set to the other. We got a new women's world champion, and it was decided in a battle royal in the main event. Lots of backstage promos, some fights happening mid-promo. Becky Lynch chatting as she walks to the ring. Lots of different story beats happening here. Piper trying to take it to Becky after the match. Nia Jax killing everybody. Chelsea sneaking back into the ring. Eventually, though, Becky Lynch gets the win and is the new Women's World Champion. Justin, I feel like Becky Lynch isn't the most surprising or shocking person, but it also feels like the right person in this situation.
Yeah, you know, when they announced that they were going to do the Battle Royal and that was going to be the deciding way of the new champion, I wasn't crazy about that. I know it's happened in history before. I know the outline, the other times it has. But you know, a battle royal to me oftentimes is like it's the catch all to get everybody else on the card who wasn't on, right? And so I'm like, this feels a little. But having watched how it played out, and you're right, Becky Lynch, it's her seventh title win. You know, she just got done competing, coming that close to taking the title from Rhea at Mania. A battle royal is fine for that because you don't need to necessarily spend the next few weeks. building a tournament or building to a one-on-one match at Backlash for her to then just win it there. I think if you were going to have somebody like a Nia Jax or Piper Niven or even Liv Morgan, I know she's been it once before, but if you were going to have somebody that's kind of new to the world title picture, I could see then wanting to make a build to a one-on-one match at a PLE, but that's not what they're doing here. Obviously, Rhea's injury was abrupt and a surprise. And so perhaps timeline-wise, it's like, look, let's not lose any more weeks to not having a Women's World Champion on Raw. Let's just get this crown so that way we can have Becky Lynch that title advertised for a match against whomever it's going to be in Lyon, France. So I got to think these are the kind of timing things that kind of came into mind is let's just try to pop a number for a Raw main event. And that's what they did, and I'm fine with it. Becky wins. A good crowd celebration. I thought that actually was kind of important, too, to show that how long they did on TV because – you know, most recently I've seen her, she's standing toe-to-toe with Rhea, as I thought it would be. Crowd was very split, maybe even more so to Rhea. So I thought this was good just to remind everybody that the man is of the people and that she's there as a babyface.
Yeah, Jimmy, going into this one, I mean, at first I was kind of like, Battle Royal for the title? That feels a little cheap. You know, like they wouldn't do this if Roman lost the title, like from injury, or if Gunther lost, they would do something. But then I'm thinking about it logistically, and you got the draft on Friday, and you've got Queen of the Ring, so you can't really do a tournament. There's a lot of things that they sort of just had to do it, right? Like I felt like their hands were a little bit tied, and I feel like this is just kind of the best way to do it.
Yeah, under the circumstances, like you just brought up, the draft coming up on Friday, starting on Friday and that sort of thing, that really did limit their options, let's put it that way. And, you know, the Battle Royal, you go into it and you start thinking, well, they're just doing it because you can protect certain talents because they never got pinned, they went over the top rope. And at first, when I was thinking, I thought, maybe Nia Jax is the right person, like you're saying, Justin, mm-hmm. for this, because here's someone who can take the title and look like the unbeatable foe, you know, the real monster heel, so to speak. But it's almost like you're reading my notes here. I'm thinking, you know, after the match with Becky winning the title and the crowd going crazy and her interacting with the audience the way she was, with the children, with the older crowd, everybody was on board the Becky train, and that's what you want. It almost felt like a Cody moment. Mm-hmm. Let's see where this goes. I think that's in hindsight, a good move, and I'd like to see where this goes forward.
Yeah, I also think it's Becky's the right call here too, because I was thinking it would be great if like Liv got the title or if like a Piper got the title, but then I'm also thinking based on the situation, you don't want them to be like they were only the champion because, of this situation, where Becky is such a star that you're never going to pin that on her. You know what I mean? Like, she's Becky. So her being the, she's absolutely worthy of it.
The one thing I found really interesting during the match too, is we almost had that Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin moment with the elimination that wasn't caught by the referees. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, and it was Natty involved as well too. So I thought, maybe there's something here. They got me.
Chelsea's so clever. That was so good. Justin, one thing that kind of surprised me here though, is we have a situation where we have a world title that is vacated and John Moxley didn't win it. What happened?
He wasn't available. You're right.
Prior engagements.
I just feel like John Moxley's always the guy in that case. You go to John Moxley when you're in that situation.
And wasn't that guy like 2 years ago when the famous press conference and brawl out happened? Wasn't it like he's supposed to like be going on like a much deserved vacation, and then like all that happened and he stuck around? Like, did the guy ever get his vacation?
No,
like, I don't think he has.
Why do you think he's so angry every time they talk to us? He just wants a vacation.
I need a break. I just need a break.
But yeah, I thought initially seeing this, a tournament would have been the right way to go. But of course, you don't want to do a tournament right before Queen of the Ring. And as we mentioned today, Queen of the Ring, King of the Ring, both announced. It sounds like both of them are happening in Saudi Arabia. And I guess the show will just be called King and Queen of the Ring, and not like Crown Jewel or anything like that this time around. Gunther comes out and he announces, hey, this is my next thing. I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to use that and go on to take on whoever has a championship I want next. Woods comes out and says he's still the King of the Ring. So he's going to win it back to back. We get an Imperium match, New Day versus Imperium. But the story is Giovanni Vinci or Ludwig Kaiser just kills Giovanni Vinci after the match. A lot of stuff going down. Jimmy, talk to me a bit about King of the Ring coming back.
Oh, I like the idea of King of the Ring coming back, because there are a few guys I like that are on my radar that I'd like to see possibly win the King of the Ring. And going into this aftermath from the tag team match where Kaiser took out Vinci, man, we saw a different level of intensity from Kaiser, which is good to see. I just don't know if the crowd will be on board with Vinci as a babyface here. He has to really assert himself and get the people on board. It's going to be tough, I think. I don't know if they're going to be as invested as I would hope they would be, but it's going to be an uphill climb for him, that's for sure.
I mean, he is working against a group and a guy that the crowd definitely hates. So he has the opportunity to make the best of it, but I get what you're saying. Adam Staples in the chat says, I don't like Imperium breaking up, though I hope they have a plan. Justin, I love King of the Ring. I'm so excited about this. I feel like Gunther's got to be the odds-on favorite. But also, this breakup of Imperium, they've been teasing it for a very long time. Finally happening. Or do you like what you're seeing?
I mean, I love, like mentioned, I love the intensity of Kaiser. I love the he looks like he's done beating down Vinci, and then he circles the other side of the ring and then just running dropkick with intensity. The whole thing was well done. Obviously, now you have a payoff match here between Kaiser and Vinci. I'd imagine Kaiser wins that, and then I wondered, is Vinci somebody that goes back to NXT? Does he get a little bit of a repackaging, a little breath of fresh air, or does he continue on with Kaiser? Look, there's all this talk of, you know, Gunther and Xavier Woods and Sheamus and Drew McIntyre. If Kaiser's now a singles wrestler, not an attack team, Kaiser's King of the Ring would be a hell of an endorsement here. I hope whatever they do with King of the Ring is that I hope they bring it back to the status that video package that they showed, the status that it once was. Because when Xavier Woods said that he was the last King of the Ring, I went, oh yeah, he was. Totally forgot because it really didn't matter. So whether King of the Ring is one more accolade for Gunther to tout, or whether it is something, you know, to spark up a Kaiser, to re-spark, you know, spark up the veteran returning like a Sheamus, whatever it is, you know, I would love for them to put some kind of stipulation to it. That, hey, King and Queen of the Ring, if you get crowned, you have an automatic title shot of your choosing, kind of like a Money in the Bank, but don't make not the Money in the Bank gimmick of the cash in surprise, but say you are number, you either your number one contender for Clash of the Castle, or you have, you know, or something. But I would love to bring that back. I would love to bring some kind of status like that to it, because otherwise, you know, what's it all mean? And I'll be curious the format. Back in the day when it was a pay-per-view in the 90s, they would do, you'd see the guys fight three matches a night. I don't think today's expectations of a crowd, they want to see a talent fight. They want to see two talents fight three times in a night, especially the Saudi Arabia crowd. So I'll be really curious formatting-wise, what rounds do we get previously on Raw and SmackDown, and what do they leave for the PLE?
Good point.
Yeah, I may be an outsider here on this, but I loved when they did it one night. I get why they wouldn't, so if they don't, it wouldn't bother me. But growing up, because I loved King of the Ring, was actually one of my favorite things that they did. I loved the tournaments. I loved my naive picking of who I thought was going to win that had no chance, but they were my favorites, so I picked them to win or whatever. You know, I loved watching those. They were really one of my favorites. It's such a bummer to see it sort of decline over the years. Mm-hmm. I do think Xavier Woods, if you're watching this, thanks for watching. Why are you be in the live chat? But if you're if you are, bring back that King of the Ring music you had for a while there, that Bow Down song. That was awesome. I love that theme you had for like 3 weeks after he won the King of the Ring. Yeah. Can anyone beat Gunther? Gunther's going to win this thing, right?
Well, it depends on how they lay this out. Somebody who I'd like to see actually do it is probably a Chad Gable, because Chad Gable, especially tonight, stood out big time. And I wouldn't mind seeing him as a potential King of the Ring candidate. I think that would work. Gunther is obviously, like you guys said, he's probably the betting odds favorite. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to see something a little different, because Gunther doesn't need King of the Ring. Obviously, it would enhance him big time. And like Justin said, if it were to bring a title match along with it, the King of the Ring crown, then yeah, I'm all for it. But at the same time, I don't think Gunther needs it as much as someone like a Chad Gable to reestablish himself as, hey, I told you I can do this. Now I'm after a championship.
You know, if Gable winning and then using it to get his shot at Sami Zayn, and then beating Sami Zayn, that could be a great skyrocket for Chad Gable. So Chad Gable's the one you want to win it. That's your emotional pick, Jimmy.
That's the one I'd like to see win it. Yeah, definitely.
Justin, who's your emotional pick? Who do you want to see win it? We don't know who's in it yet completely, but if you just could pick anybody.
I mean, Gable's a great call. But again, I go back to what I said a minute ago. If we want to take away the odds on favorites, if we want to just assume that Gunther's going to find his way to a world title picture anyways, and Drew McIntyre's got CM Punk problems coming anyways. Mm-hmm. Again, I would love to see some investment put into Kaiser. I mean, he showed tonight that he got heat. People want to boo him, and they've been booing him. Just the way he talks, the way he, you know, the arrogant smug, the way he works in the ring. I mean, it's there. I think he's proven we've been talking about it for what, the better part of a year now, that he's no longer just one of the lackey henchmen. He has stood out and kind of carved out. Vinci, not so much. Vinci was kind of the fall guy, and that's now playing out. So, I mean, again, if we're not going to go with any of the established names, you know, heating up a newly found heel in Chad Gable or a breakout single star in Kaiser, Ludwig Kaiser, I think that'd be a great call.
You know, I had my pick and you guys both kind of sold me on yours. Now I don't know. I wanted to go. This is maybe naive pick, but I wanted to see someone come up to the main roster. And I want to see Carmelo Hayes shock the world and become King of the Ring. As he gets drafted up to the main roster, I think that would be a cool thing to see.
Quick question, since you brought up NXT, maybe a Trick Williams?
Yeah. Trick Williams also. I just think it'd be a shame for Trick Williams to leave NXT without ever being the NXT champion, but I guess that might change tomorrow on NXT Spring Break, and check it out on USA.
Nice plug
the show. So let us know in the chat, let us know in the comments who you want to win, not your, like, if you're trying to pick it correct, but like who you would love to see win. Also Queen of the Ring. We haven't seen any preview of who that could be yet. So it's kind of hard to gauge that one just yet, but, let me know in the chat who you think you want to see win King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. Jey Uso and Damian Priest had a meetup in the ring. They chatted. Priest started off by praising Uso, only for him to say that Uso is getting fed to him. Uso says that Priest is the leader of the Judgment Day because Rhea got hurt. JD tries to attack Priest, but he fails, and Jay ends up super kicking Priest, and Priest is very upset about it. Upset continues as he deals with JD backstage.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jimmy, I want to talk about this opening promo, or this promo we had here. This was Damian Priest's first real world champion address, you know, in the middle of the ring. Right. How do you think he handled himself?
I think he handled himself very well. I think there's room for improvement, as everybody can. But as far as his first promo, you know, big moment in the spotlight there, I thought he did very well. And he asserted himself, and he brought that realism, that real, you know, kind of peeling back the curtain between him and Jey Uso, having that relationship backstage and that sort of thing. And also using insider terms that some fans might get and some fans that might go a little bit over their heads by saying, you're being fed to me, which is, you know, the insider term for, yeah, you're just a contender so I can move forward to someone else. You're kind of like a stepping stone for me as champion. So I think it was well done. I think I like his confidence. I really do like his confidence. He exerted himself. He has been exerting himself in Judgment Day for a long time now. And we've been seeing that come out as a leader of Judgment Day. And that line that he said tonight, where he said to his fellow Judgment Day cohorts, I don't need you. You need me. Yes. And that's where he's asserting himself. That's what I like.
Justin, this was, to Jimmy's point, I kind of like how they fronted the reality of what this is Damian Priest's first defense, and I think a lot of people, we may not be saying it, but we kind of feel like, yeah, Jey Uso is the first guy that Damian Priest is going to beat. Do you like that they kind of just fronted that and talked about it?
Well, no, I do appreciate, I have also my notes, I do appreciate to an extent the realism of the backstage, not just the fed line, but just the, you know, oh, we were having drinks and we talked about this, and, you know, kind of like, you know, just acknowledging what at this point in 2024 most fans know, which is these guys don't just, you know, once they go through the curtain, they're still in each other's lives to an extent. So I did like that. I did think Jey Uso got the better of Damian Priest verbally. I do think that when you watch this, if you're scoring it like a boxing match, Jay was up on points. But I'm okay with that. One, because we saw Priest throughout the night. It was a running thread of his, you know, and he's pissed off. So that was fine. And I'm okay with Jay getting the better of Priest in that verbal, because I don't think, barring an injury, which, you know, knock on wood, I don't want to see happen, I don't see Damian Priest losing his title at his first big defense. So it's much kind of like the Cody AJ Styles thing to me, which is Cody just did all this work to finish the story and win at Mania. I don't believe anywhere that his first major title defense on TV, he's going to lose it. So at least give me somebody that's going to put on a hell of a memorable match and that has a lot of credibility and who's not harmed when he loses an AJ Styles. So I think picking the opponent in these situations is key. Again, all the more reason I thought it was kind of clever that they leaned into the whole, you know, you're being fed to me. I thought this was a nice way to start the show, and a nice way to kind of, they don't have much time. It's a relatively short time to build this Jey Uso versus Priest match. You know, it's a week from Saturday, the event. So I thought this was a nice kickstart into second gear.
Yeah, and I think that it was cool to see this transition of Damian Priest, where it seems like he's distancing himself from Judgment Day. It seems like he's nicer, but he's also not being a pushover, like suddenly I'm here for the fans at the same time. It's a very realistic transition that's happening, Jimmy. And as you alluded to, we later had the tag team match, Santos Escobar and JD McDonagh versus Ricochet and Andrade. Ricochet and Andrade get the win, but afterwards, Damian Priest says, look, I can take care of these guys by myself. Are we seeing the end of Judgment Day, Jimmy?
I think that was not quite the final nail in the coffin, but it's very close to it. It looks like it's imminent. Let's put it that way. And like I said, that line he laid out to them where he said, you know, I don't need you, you need me, and that sort of stuff. And other little seeds that were planted tonight, with especially with Dom backstage, where he had a little interaction face to face with somebody. Kind of played there. So I think it is imminent. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I was going to say, Justin, to your point, you've been saying for a long time, Dom might go astray, and he ran into somebody, Liv Morgan. Do you think we're getting teases that there might be thunder in paradise for Dom and Mommy?
You know, look, again, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. That whole promo last week was basically like a double turn of Rhea Ripley just firmly being cemented that, okay, she's the face here, and Liv Morgan's the heel, and it's just there. It's just a creative layup,
right?
It's just a creative layup. Like on paper, it's a creative layup, and then let Triple H and his smart people around him put the little final touches that we're not thinking of. That's gonna just blow the roof off. I mean, it's just there. It's right there.
And as we could, and it's smart because it gives Liv time to sort of run that. But then eventually, if she does become champion, and then she has Dom and the championship when Rhea comes back, that it just makes a perfect situation for Rhea to come back as the returned hero.
And it makes a great situation of, you know, I don't think, and I'd love to know Jimmy's thoughts, because Jimmy, I'm sure, I know, reffed some. I don't see WWE in 2024. Probably advertising an intergender match, but I could see something old school, and Triple H is old school. I could see it's Rhea versus Liv, and not only if Rhea gets the win, you know, she has the win, but she gets 5 minutes with the Dirty Dom. You know, Dom's in a little shark cage hanging above. That old school,
old chestnut. I love it. That would be so good. I think they should do it. You're right, Justin. I don't think they would do the intergender stuff, but I feel like in this case,
they can
just her beating the crap out of Dom for 5 minutes would be beautiful.
They can do it in a way creatively that will work. And I know it's not like the old days where you had Chyna and Jericho going head to head and toe to toe, that sort of thing. It's just, you can have, like you said, 5 minutes of her just beating the snot out of Dom for what he did.
Right. Well, I think what you could easily just have, like, you know, whatever Dom's saying, don't hit me. Some other female comes in, Nia Jax, for instance, and then attacks Rhea. You eat up whatever 4 of the minutes of Rhea trying to get rid of Nia Jax, eventually does. And then she just gets the 1 minute of beating up Dom. So it's not just 5 minutes of her slugging Dom, you know, but you have that, like, no, this is her 5 minutes. She's going to lose it. But then she gets the good minute of, I imagine a kendo stick for some reason, just kendo sticking Dom or whatever.
Mommy rules. It. A mommy put rules it, match.
But Triple H, just put it in ink right now. Magic marker. Make it happen. Book it. While we were chatting, we got a few people picking their King of the Ring winners. We got Baby Ice saying Dragunov, King Kia, Breaker, Braun Breaker. We got an LA Knight pick. A lot of Braun Breakers and Chelsea Greens. Jacob Fatu as a winner. King R-Truth, Tiffany Stratton, and King Dom, and Kingdom, that kind of rolls. Queen Nia Jax. So a lot of cool opportunities there. Frankie, shout out to Frankie, says, hey guys, first time catching you live. Thanks for coming through, Frankie. Nice. Always appreciate it. So we had one of the more interesting promos. Drew McIntyre comes out and he's complaining about Sheamus, and he says he's going to enter the King of the Ring. Or he's complaining about CM Punk. He's complaining about King of the Ring. And sorry, I'm trying to read my notes, and I wrote my notes wrong. Complaining about CM Punk, and then Sheamus comes out. They talk about King of the Ring. They make fun of Sheamus's body. He does some body shaming. Eventually, Shinsuke comes out and Sheamus beats Shinsuke in a match. Lots of stuff over there. I can't get my words straight, Justin. I loved this segment. I thought this was both a very emotional personal segment, but also a fun back and forth as well. Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, they always cook, as they say.
Yeah, it clicked because, you know, we all know that Sheamus and Drew have known each other for 20 years, as they say, and we've seen them work. So like that clicked to kind of like right now, while Drew is in just such personal rage, you know, with CM Punk just living in his mind all day, every day, that Sheamus comes out and it's like, fella, you got to break out of this. And then things get personal. Drew decides to bring up what, unfortunately, the toxic part of social media is bringing up, of body shaming Sheamus, and Sheamus just leaned into it. Good for him. I thought, and again, aside from being entertaining, and you know, Sheamus is back, and you're kind of acknowledging the nonsense online, and you're continuing with Drew and his, you know, oh poor me. You know, we know Drew versus Punk is inevitable at some point. It's all on Punk's rehab timetable. It's another great piece of business here. Of okay, now I want to see Sheamus and Drew, so that can buy you some time. That could be something for Drew to do. In the intermediate, until whenever the CM Punk match is going to be, Clash of the Castle, SummerSlam, whatever, it's going to depend again, all on his health. But I like that this got Sheamus right back in the mix. Yes, we have seen Sheamus versus Drew hundreds of times, but just in this setting and given what they did, not setting, but in this context, it felt all of a sudden now I want to see it again, because I don't know if I've seen Drew versus Sheamus when Drew's been this whiny little. Not little, but whiny heel who, you know, and then you have Sheamus who's back, who's just happy to be back again to do one more run. It's a different dynamic. So I thought this was great.
Yeah, I love Jimmy, how they both got each other. I always say when they can do stuff like this, it doesn't feel like it's breaking their character, I think is great. I think neither of them really broke their character or who they were. I also love that Sheamus, if you check his Twitter account, went on and even said the burger. After burgers.
Yes. I saw that. Yeah.
So good of Sheamus to just be a good sport about it, which, again, I got to say, if it weren't for the fact that he was super jacked for his entire life, we'd probably just be like, oh, yeah, this is just a big buff dude. But we hold him in such high regard, and he's still in great shape. Come on. Like,
well, especially if you dig into social and you see the story, like not just a few months ago, he thought he was donezo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like the fact that he's back this quick, I mean, like, so he's just, you know, and look, we've all seen it. He could have came back and tried to alter his ring attire to conceal any kind of flaws or whatever. But he came back out dressed as the Irish ass kicker that he always is. And it's kind of like, all right, man, maybe my belly's a little bit bigger. Come fight me.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Right. When they come out in the t-shirt, it's always like, oh no, this isn't good.
It's like the big fight in the Irish pub, you know, that's what it is. And that's what you get from Sheamus every time. You're going to get I don't want to say stiff, but it's going to be a snug match when you're in there with the big Irishman. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely love this exchange. I don't care if they've had a million fights. They beat the tar out of each other every time they do it. So I'm here for it. Poor Shinsuke Nakamura not doing very good, though.
No, and really the little things that that Drew is doing right now, where he's doing sitting cross-legged in the ring and making sure the cameraman don't shoot up his kilt there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just the little things that make you pop, but at the same time, he brings it right back in no time at all and gets you wanting to just boo the crap out of him.
And you mentioned Nakamura, Jack, teaser. You know, we'll end this episode with our draft, you know, predictions, wants, requests. I got one for Nakamura.
My list.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've got an idea of where I'd like to see him go to maybe get a fresh start. Awesome Truth takes on DIY tag titles on the line. Fun one with some actually pretty close spots for the champs that I thought that it almost looked like they weren't going to get the dub, but Justin, not a good day to have friends in WWE tonight. DIY, they lose, and Tommaso Ciampa does not look like he's okay with it.
Well, and that's good because again, you're not going to have a Hall of Fame career doing a cosplay of the team. The DX thing. It's funny for a minute, but it's, you know, they're in Columbus, Ohio tonight. When they did, and that's not, you know, it's only just a few hours from Cleveland, which, you know, Johnny Gargano came up in Cleveland, was the darling of the Cleveland independent wrestling scene a decade ago. Very well known. Oh, and then he's traveled Ohio in general. When they went and did their signature little Barry Horowitz pat on the back spot just before they go to break, and I heard the amount of boos I heard. Now, I was like, oof. Now, also, they're going against Awesome Truth, which is just an over-like Rover comedy gimmick right now of two surefire Hall of Famers. So that doesn't bode well either. Like, it's not like you're going up against, you know, pick a heel group. So I was happy to see that once they lost the match that they are starting to already tease, you know, they're going to need a change of attitude, or they're going to have to split the group up or something, because this DIY as a babyface team is just not clicking to the fans. Mm-hmm. So that's, and that's that. And I'm a fan of both of those guys, but call a duck, it's just not clicking.
Yeah, Jimmy, I feel like Ciampa, and the way that it's positioned here, it looks like, is going to be the guy that goes to the other side of the tracks. I'm thinking Ciampa's better as a bad guy. I've always felt that way. I feel like he's better, especially maybe it's just because when I enjoyed him most in NXT, I feel like he's easy to boo. He's easy to get under your skin. He's great at being that guy who is a psychopath that you hate. I like him in that position. I think that it just might be time to go that way. Johnny Gargano's hard to hate. I love that guy. So I think it's great that they go that way.
And that's the perfect thing. Like you said, Johnny has a likability about him when he's a babyface. And Ciampa can – it almost feels more natural for him to be a babyface. It comes out more organic when he does – take to that dark side. And I like the idea of them splitting them up because, like Justin said, I don't think DIY is clicking for some reason. I wish I could put my finger on it, because if I could, I'd tell you what I think, at least my opinion. But for some reason, the crowd is not clicking. They tried to do it with the, you know, Regeneration X and all that kind of stuff. It just didn't. It got a few laughs.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, again, here's where you make your money, and it just wasn't there for them.
We had one last segment here. Sami Zayn says that he's upset about Gable, but he's got bigger problems. Bronson Reed just beats the tar out of him backstage. Chad Gable, suited up, comes to the ring with Alpha Academy, justifies his actions, and then just reads the Alpha Academy the Riot Act before they make sure to agree to help him no matter what. Justin, you're nodding your head here. I thought this was a perfectly done combo of segments.
Obviously Bronson Reed, make him look like a threat. I would love to see Bronson Reed versus Sami Zayn for a title. That's good there. And the public undressing of Alpha Academy by Chad Gable. I mean, you know, and hats off to everybody, all four in the ring. You know, Tozawa with his facial expressions looking like the puppy that just got, you know, screamed at. Maxine, you know, just the words that Chad Gable delivered about her, and just, you know, the entire audience just gassed. And then, you know, lovable Otis. You think he's getting ready to give Otis a compliment, and he just rips him apart as the biggest disappointment. This is good. And I it's going to be probably some long-term storytelling. I liked it. Later than Maxine's in the Battle Royal, and she's actually, you know, on a roll there for a bit. So it's kind of like a little bit of a fire under her. But I like this. I really like this because obviously it further gets Chad Gable, this new heel persona, over and gets him heat. But I also like the fact that it's like, okay, if we're going to have him turn heel, maybe in past times, what we'd see is Tozawa, Maxine, and Otis just all of a sudden are just sitting catering. We just all of a sudden aren't seeing them anymore. I like the fact that we're taking them along for the ride, and that they can still get something out of this and be part of whatever story and run that happens here with Chad. I like the fact that we're keeping them involved and not just discarding them and making us just pretend that they don't exist. Just forget about them. No, I like this. So, you know, he's going to be like this boot camp ridiculous leader, and they're all just going to keep, you know, meekly saying yes to him until they finally don't. I like this.
Yeah, Jimmy, I love too the way he's made them say they will do anything. It felt very Roman Reigns, acknowledge me, say, I want to hear you say it. And it just made him seem like such a jerk.
No, it did. And it was the way he said it. Like, he was so condescending and And the way they were responding, even Otis, sheepishly, you know, just like you said, like a scolded child. Yes, you know, and agreeing to follow along with Chad Gable. But Chad Gable is just on another level right now. And then with that different look coming out and wearing the suit and that sort of thing, completely different Chad Gable we're getting right now. And we keep saying this, and I hate to keep harping on it, that he just feels like this generation's Kurt Angle. The more and more I see this heel side of him, the more I see that in him. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like me trying to say, well, he's trying to be Kurt. No, he's not trying to be. He's being Chad Gable, but it just reminds me so much of a heel Kurt Angle that it's amazing. And I'm looking forward to see what's next for him. King of the Ring.
Possibly. Yeah, this was a really good episode of Raw. There's a lot of like story changes, great promos. I think match wise, there wasn't a lot of shocking results, but there's absolutely a lot of, like I said, character development, turns, setting up stage for the future, setting the stage for the draft, which we were about to talk about. But both of you look like you wanted to say something. Justin, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there was a lot to talk about tonight, which is impressive when you are, as we said earlier, this close to the draft, when things are potentially just going to completely reset and flip. It would be very easy just to have this be a throwaway show.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we just talked about the Chad Gable, you know, advancement of things. We talked about the Sheamus and Drew. We talked about obviously all that went down with the King of the Ring men's picture of people dropping that out they're going to be involved in, and of course the Imperium break apart. Judgment Day seems like they're circling the drain. We got a new women's champion. Like, there was a lot that happened for a show when again could easily be just justified as throwing it away. Half the rosters came back from a European tour. Throw it away. We're going to give them the draft next week.
Yep. Exactly.
Just like the storylines that are beneath the, not beneath, that's maybe the wrong choice of words, but the ones that are not involving the major titles all have a purpose, all have a story behind it. It's not just a throwaway match where we're just going to put these two guys together or these two girls together to get them on television and give them some exposure. There was reasons for why these matches were taking place, and I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, we're going to talk about the draft here. So we're going to give some draft predictions, things we want to see. And this is something I'd love to be interactive. So everyone in the chat, let me know your thoughts. And also in the comments, let me know what you would like to see. Who would you like to see change brands? Where would you like to see a move? I want to start, Justin, with you. Do you have anyone that jumps out at you as someone that needs to change brands? And where would you like to see them go?
The number one request I have of this draft. LA Knight.
Yeah.
Make sure that when this draft is all said and done after the two nights of it, that he is on the exact opposite brand of Cody Rhodes. Because, you know, they and again, it wasn't all this current regime. They stupidly put him challenging Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia last fall. And it was like, okay, this is way too soon to put him in a world title match if he's not winning it. Luckily, like some other things that happened in Saudi Arabia with the WWE booking, we tend to like just kind of give it a pass. You know, we kind of, I'm thinking about Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement, him Triple H versus Undertaker and Kane, the crap show that was. We all just tend to just think Shawn's last match was against Taker at Mania.
That's what I,
you know, just, and so
that was a bonus features DVD thing. That didn't really,
that was
director's cut. Doesn't count.
Right. So look, LA Knight, I mean, I was at SmackDown last Friday. They're here in Pittsburgh, and I mean, 13,000 people. LA Knight is still, he's over. And the last time we saw him live was Payback in the fall, when he's in the ring there, and Cena's out there doing a promo. And I even watched Cena like making facial expressions like, this guy's got a reaction. He is still on the rise. And so LA Knight's still on the rise. LA Knight's not going to be beating Cody Rhodes anytime soon for that world title. So there's another world title in the company. So just make sure he's on the opposite brand of Cody, because then you have something here in 2024 to let him build towards Priest or whomever the champion is once he gets to that part of the mountain. But LA Knight needs to be completely as far apart from Cody Rhodes as possible.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. My note was, I just said LA Knight to Raw because I assumed that Cody's going to SmackDown, but basically, that's exactly what I'm thinking. You got to have them separate. And LA Knight needs a place where he can thrive and he can grow and not be stuck under some kind of glass ceiling situation that it kind of feels like he's at now. So I echo that completely, Justin. Sorry to just steal your answer, but I guess that's what I'm going to do. Jimmy, what do you got planned?
Well, let me get my highlighter and mark that off my list because it was on there as well. But someone else that I'd like to possibly see go to from SmackDown to Raw is maybe a Kevin Owens. I'd like to see him and kind of refresh his friendship with Sami Zayn, because they do have a bond that stretches back many, many, many years. And who knows? Maybe Kevin Owens wants to be the one to take that title away from Sami eventually somewhere down the line. I know Kevin is really over with the audience, but he's a guy who can flip the switch really quickly and get the crowd to hate him and do it the right way. So that might be an interesting choice.
You know what might be interesting too, as we talk about SmackDown to Raw, or I guess maybe NXT to Raw, depending on where they're at technically now. If the Judgment Day is breaking up, there's going to be a vacuum of power for a group. Maybe this is the Final Testament's chance to make a move somewhere away from the Bloodline. Now the Imperium's gone, maybe they could become a force on a place like Raw if they moved over to Mondays. I think that might give Karrion Kross a chance. Similar situation, I think, being kind of a glass ceiling where you can't be the unstoppable group when you've got the Bloodline on the same show as you. So maybe that gives him some opportunity to show what he can do with his group over there.
Really quickly to Mike Martin in our chat room, I can't be clicking anything if I don't have anything in my hands. Just letting you know.
Stop clicking, Jimmy. I don't have a pen either. I don't know what that... Well, I mean, I do have a pen. I have a marker, but it's a Sharpie. Yeah, exactly. I don't know why it's...
Mine's a highlighter.
I don't know. I don't have a pen. Don't ever try to commit a heist with me. I'll get you caught.
You'd be the driver, Jack.
Yeah, I'd be the driver. Jack, just stay here. We'll come back out when we're done.
And you get to pick the music. When you drive, you get to pick the music.
You look so unsuspecting. If you sat in a parked car outside of a bank or a casino, wherever, no cops suspecting that you're up to any shenanigans. Right.
That's the problem. I have my mask on while I'm waiting in the car.
No, we put the mask on later, you idiot. What are you doing?
Someone tell them how it's done. Oh, please.
Now, of course, Justin, we talked about Shinsuke Nakamura. Any NXT trades you'd like to see, Justin?
Well, I mean, I think we're all thinking that Nakamura absolutely, I think, could use maybe an NXT, because it does feel like NXT again is going to be not, they're going to try to make it more lateral here. So I think having Nakamura at NXT, I mean, he has, while we've loved the presentation, we've all raved over the way they've done his promos and handled that. You know, he lost to Cody repeatedly. You know, obviously we saw him lose tonight. To Sheamus. Yeah, I mean, he needs a reset. And there's, I mean, obviously again, NXT, there's such glory memories of him when he first came. I'll never forget my first time seeing him live. I think it was his first match in NXT, seeing him live at a takeover in Dallas, him versus Sami Zayn. And it was incredible. So I think having him go to NXT, that could be a good refresher for him. So that I would see, you know, I mean, and there's been precedent. We've seen, you know, Baron Corbin's been down in NXT, and I think he's rejuvenized his career, you know? And so there seems to be a little bit of precedent of, you know, just because you're going to NXT, that does not mean that you have to be, that doesn't have to be looked at as a demotion. And especially if they're getting ready to go to CW. So, you know, there's going to be a certain promotional push of, you know, you could be the face of that, help be the face of that push. Also, if you live in Florida, it's kind of nice. You don't have to be taking flights all around the country. You can kind of keep your travel to a limited, as long as they keep doing NXT. In Florida. So yeah, Nakamura, a number one, get him down to NXT.
And Mike Martin apologizes.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Don't worry.
How's this one? This one is a spicy one, I think, for going back to NXT or going to NXT is Bobby Lashley. I feel like he gives a big star power. He looks like someone, if you put on CW, people are going to go, wow, who is this guy? They've got some big guys over there he could wrestle with, but also gives him a chance to showcase more of his personality, showcase who he is. And he's also not stuck in that situation where he's now behind other people on the main roster and he could be an NXT champion. I think that that might open some lanes for him to be there for a little bit. Yes, any, Jimmy, anyone you'd like to see take a trip to NXT?
Yeah, I'm looking at my list here and I was thinking maybe. He's on the rise now on the main roster, but at the same time, it's still not quite there. Maybe give Ricochet a little stint down at NXT to just, again, get him going, get his mic skills in order where when he does eventually return back to one of the other. I know, I get it. NXT, they're trying to elevate the brand, and I think he's a guy who can elevate that brand and fits in very well there. Have him work on his mic skills and get his character over and get people to know who he is as opposed to what he can do. And, you know, maybe that is a choice.
Yeah, that actually be an interesting one because this is a different NXT than the one he was on when he was in NXT. And so I think they do a lot more of that character stuff in NXT now. Might find the magic formula to get him that missing piece and get to that next level. Because I'm a huge Ricochet fan, too. Of course, people coming up from NXT, there's a million of them. I'd love to see Carmelo Hayes and Braun Breaker. I'm sure everyone has the same answer. So probably don't need to dig too far into that. But let us know in the chat who you guys would like to see make the move on the main roster, where you'd like to see him move around, who you'd like to see go to NXT. I think it'd be interesting. I feel like they could really do anything. WWE, just an embarrassment of riches right now. So much talent, doing so well, really knocking it out of the park everywhere. That I kind of does it for us. Justin, any final thoughts, and where can the world find you online?
No, like I said earlier, I was pleasantly surprised with how much there was to talk about from this episode, given, again, where it's at on the calendar. So, yeah, that's good. Follow me on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, wherever, at Justin Labar. Of course, I'm here every single Monday night with you fellas, and then I am on Busted Open Radio, Spar with Labar segment Friday mornings. Myself and Dave LaGreca, Nick Nemeth, Thunder Rosa, and then all day Sunday, the entire Busted Open, 9 a.m. to noon, every single Sunday, co-hosting that show. So, yeah, we have the live version you can hear on SiriusXM channel 156. You can listen via the app, or there's a condensed 40-minute podcast version if that's more for your fancy. So there's no avoiding me if you really want to think about it that way.
Well, yeah, definitely check out Busted Open. I mean, Justin's got guys like Matt Hardy on the line anytime he wants. So you never know who's going to show up over there. Jimmy, what about you? What did you think of the show, and where can the world find you?
No, I enjoyed it very much. I thought some puzzles were put together, some connections with storylines. And like I said earlier, the storylines that didn't involve the main title pictures, there were reasons for everything that happened in the matches, and I enjoyed that very much. And as far as where you can find me, usually here on Monday nights with Triple J, talking all the stuff we're talking about, which is cool. I'm Wednesday nights after Dynamite. I think, are you with us again this Wednesday, Jack?
Yep. I will be on Dynamite.
Cool. Talking Dynamite. Hopefully they follow up on a great episode after a great pay-per-view. So looking forward to seeing that. You know, you can check out the Refin It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hepner, and I. We're, well, not this week. Unfortunately, he lost the bet. So this week's Refin It Up podcast will be hosted by myself and Diamond Dave LaGreca.
Oh, so
that's going to be interesting. And yeah, I think Hepner's a little hot about that for losing that bet. I told him, be a Cody crybaby, wear the pink robe. He didn't listen to me. And you can I can do my ref and rants from Monday to Wednesday on all my socials out there. Just, you know, throwing little critiques and putting stuff over at the same time, or little tweaks, you know, trying to help whenever I can, and running around the house, driving my wife crazy with my Corderas karaoke with my 70s.
Always good stuff to see there. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You know, I'm actually going to be a guest on an upcoming episode of Peaches and Power Bombs, hosted by none other than our own Majestic Marie. So you'll get to check that out. Make sure to follow her on social media at Queen of Mods to get all the details on that one. Also, make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe this show, and make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all of the latest wrestling news, and be here tomorrow for our After NXT After Show. That does it for us. We'll see you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.